about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Have the privilege of having Victory McIntosh sitting in with us today. As we look in the Word of God, we invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. Proverbs chapter 31, starting at verse 1, and it tells us these words. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verses 1 through 9, Proverbs chapter 31, and then reading one verse out of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a book of life, a word that teaches us to choose life, to stand for life, and to look to you, the author of all life. Thank you for the privilege of us being witnesses that point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of all life and the one who can give us eternal life as well. And help us to understand, Lord, that life in all its forms, again, you are the giver of it, and that we're to stand for life and point others to it, yes, as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and again, grateful to have Victory McIntosh in with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Always good to have Victory. And we have a special guest with us that's been with us before, but we're grateful to have her back. Judah Myers, she's the founder of the ministry Choices for Life. Judah, how are you today?
I am fantastic to be with you guys.
Hey, Judah.
Thank you so much. Hi, Victory. What an awesome name.
Hey, you actually know me, Jade McIntosh. I go by Victory,
yes,
too. It's been a while,
yes,
since we talked.
Yes, I do.
All right. Judah, good to have you with us today.
What a pleasure.
And I want to ask you, Judah, if you would, some of our listeners may not have caught the programs the last time you were with us. Would you reintroduce yourself to our listeners and tell them about the Ministry of Choices for Life and what the mission of Choices for Life is about as well?
I would be happy to. I was conceived on a street corner in St. Louis, Missouri, where 8 men raped my mother and left her for dead. She didn't tell anybody she was a nanny. She packed up everything, and she went back home to Jackson, Mississippi, where later she found out she was pregnant. Well, little did she know that the rape was not the fight of her life, but it was actually against her mother and doctors and society because they pressured her to abort me. When the life within her is what she had said was what gave her life, it gave her a reason to keep living. Having life inside of her took away the pain of the rape and had her focus on something else. But society, her parents, friends, everybody, the devil has convinced everybody that a rape-conceived child is from the devil, not from God. How clever that God's glory would be taken in a moment like that. So my mother was forced to place me for adoption because she wanted to further save my life because my grandmother wanted me dead. So fast forward 48 years, and I was reunited with my mother. She had been praying for all of those 48 years that God would return me to her. And she had told everybody that she was going to one day celebrate my Valentine birthday with me, and she did. And so over those years, after I learned that I was conceived in rape, I heard more and more stories as I started speaking out. And every single place that I've gone, whether I was speaking to 14,000 or whether I was speaking to 14, someone has come forward to tell me that they have that same story of being raped and nobody believed him. So in 2011, I asked God, what is he going to do about this? Well, never ask God that, because he'll turn it right back on you and say, what are you doing about
this? That's right. That's right.
And that's how Choices for Life was founded, because I just heard too many stories, and they just kept telling me nobody was out there to help them. Mm-hmm. And so I started in January 2011. This month makes 6 years, and I realized that I don't know of any other organization that does what we do, helping females during pregnancy as well as during the time they're raising their children, as well as throughout the rest of their life. You know how the military will always stand by their military, and they will always honor them?
Okay.
That's what I'm doing with these mothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're heroes, because right. they've had to fight the world for their child. Not that they're heroes just for loving their child, because that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
A mother loves her children. But the fact that all of the world condemns her for loving that rape-conceived child.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call her a hero for.
Well,
enduring that for the sake of the love of a child.
Well, Judy, in your own life, now you said you were, did you say you were 48 when you first met your birth mom?
Correct.
Okay, then. So that was
just
a
long time.
Just a few years ago. And so as far as you're getting a chance to meet her, she always wanted to meet you. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Hmm. And just that when you did finally meet her, do you remember the emotions that ran through your mind and your heart?
Oh, my goodness. That'll never go away. Because I was standing at the reception desk, and I was going to ask for her, and I heard a voice behind me saying, Judah? Hmm. And there's a long story how I called her and all that before that. But
mm-hmm.
I turned around, and I was expecting brown eyes because that's what I'd been told in the documentation that I got from the agency, mm-hmm. the adoption agency. And I looked, and I saw eyes brighter than my blue eyes, because I have really bright blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was her. And I don't know, it's like surreal, you know, like being in a movie, slow motion. It's just hard to put into words. But I knew that she was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know exactly then that I was conceived in rape. I thought maybe since they got the brown eyes wrong, they got the rape wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know about the 8 men at that point. So I asked her to tell me, if she didn't mind, about my conception.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she said she was raped by 8 men and left for dead. And then I just burst out crying, put my head in her lap, and, you know, she said, honey, stop crying. I've forgiven those men, and look what God has done. God has brought you back to me. God is faithful.
Wow.
That is powerful.
Well, what are you going to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I forgive too, and mm-hmm. off we went into the, you know, 7 years of wonderful joy being able to know each other and celebrating that Valentine's birthday that she vowed she was going to do.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I have a question.
She got them.
Okay.
Judah, I have a question for you. First off, so your mom was a Christian, right?
I don't think she was a Christian at the time.
Gotcha.
She became a Christian later because she said that it was about 5 years and she was praying and she heard God say, "And it's time to give it up. It's time for you to forgive."
Mm-hmm.
And she forgave those 8 men right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I love it.
And Judy, now is your birth mom? Is she still living?
She's not. She passed away in 2012. And you know something?
What's that?
The only person who was with her when she passed.
Hmm. Okay.
There was nobody else.
Mm-hmm. You know, she sounds like such a strong, wonderful person, really. Her attitude, her approach, and just her perspective. And it seems that her perspective must have been a tremendous gift to you as well, the fact that she could actually see beyond the pain and think, look at the gift God brought back to me in the form of a young lady named Judah Myers.
Judah.
Praise God. Praise God.
I know, praise, right?
That's right.
And
that's
I'm hoping
right.
to live up to that, because all I want to do, I am such a fanatic for the God who created me, because nobody wanted me on this planet. Not anybody. You know, my mother, she loved me with all her heart. She said I was the best thing that ever happened to her. Not the rape, but I was the best thing that had ever happened to her. And she certainly didn't want to be raped. No woman wants to be raped to have a child.
That's right.
So
that's right.
My mother didn't want me here that way, and certainly those men weren't family planning. So there was no one on this earth, and society hates people like me. And so only my God, only my Creator was the one that wanted me here on this earth. And so it is my pleasure, my obligation, my joy, everything I can think of to serve that God who created me.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
You, Judah. Girl. Oh,
praise
Jesus.
God.
I remember
God.
The first time we had I had a conversation with you, Judah. I mean, I got so excited because it was just very evident that you live, you're out your relationship with the Lord. And real quick, because I know we're about to come to a break. I'll never forget one time I dated this guy, right? And I don't know how, one of my tests to see if I'm going to continue with the gentleman is I ask them what are their views on abortion. This brother was like, it's wrong. But then he said, but now if a woman is raped, I think it's okay. So I'm taking him through scripture like, bro, this is still sin, bro. And pretty much at the end of the conversation, he still was with it. And of course, I'm single for a reason. You
that's
know
right.
I mean? Because
right.
it's
yes,
wrong
ma'am.
On every in every aspect. Oh, my goodness.
Judith, would you just
and
take
And you're better for it, because what if you did get raped and he's the man you're married to?
Jeez.
And now you have to choose between your husband and your baby. No, you made the wise decision.
Well, praise
yes,
God. Praise God. Judy, would you
First
take a moment
a
before
while,
this?
In the long run, you're good.
Amen.
Okay. We're about to go to a break. Would you just say a brief word of prayer for our listeners to really be wide open to the truths you're sharing? Because there's such a need for the church to understand why this is a real issue to be grappled with by the church. Would you pray for the listeners, please?
Father, in your word in Proverbs, you say that there is a way that is right unto a man, but it leads to death. Father, we have a whole world full of blinded people who think
Thank
they are
you,
going
Lord.
In the right direction.
Thank you. Lord.
I'm asking you right now, Lord, that you would open the eyes so that your people can live.
Yes,
Lord, that there would be no more prejudice, not just for black, white, and all the in-betweens, but for life.
Thank you,
that
Lord.
That no longer would the people discriminate against how a person is conceived.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
You are the one who conceives us in your mind. We are not conceived in the loins of men.
Yes,
so, Father, I'm asking you, begging you, please let your heart be planted in those people you have called by name.
Thank
and
you,
those
Lord.
People that have been called by name, let them walk out the yes. way Christ would walk out, in obedience, and
yes,
not go
Lord.
To the left or to the right, no matter how controversial it is.
Thank you,
we will
Lord.
Give you praise always. Yes.
Thank
in
you.
In the
Lord.
Name of Yeshua, our Messiah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Judah. I appreciate that so much. And, you know, you point out, you touch on something that's so important, that every child is planned by God. Every child's a gift. Now, when people use the term, they say, refer to some children as being a mistake. That's so sad. No child is a mistake. God plans every one of them, and he assigns each one to this world. So, but we'll pick up there on the other side. Our guest is Judah Myers, the founder of the ministry Choices for Life. We'll be right back.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Throughout Scripture, we find passages in which people who have lost God talk about Him. The Philistines were giving Israel a hard time, and the sons of Eli decided that the Israelites should carry the Ark of the Covenant into battle. They figured the Ark was where God dwelt, so if His throne went with them, He'd be there too. Not. They failed to realize that just because they carried the throne, it didn't necessarily mean that they carried the Lord. We must have a personal relationship with God. Viewing God as an abstract is always dangerous. Even His own parents traveled a whole day before they realized that Jesus wasn't there. Regardless of where you travel or what you do, nothing should ever replace His presence. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Through the tears that made her blind, she felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, "There's no place here for her kind." Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, till at last she knelt before His feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the Master from her box of alabaster, my praise on Him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash His feet with my tears and I dry them with my hair. You weren't there. When He wrapped His love all around. can't forget the way life used to be. I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little tree.
The music of C.C. Winans, the song Alabaster Box. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker in studio with Victory McIntosh. Our phone guest today is Judah Myers. She's the founder of the ministry Choices for Life. And Judah, again, I don't know, for some reason it's on my mind, just the fact that, you know, you only lost your mom just a few years ago, but God in his grace allowed her to meet you and you to meet her, and what a gift you are to each other for the time that you did have together. So praise God for that, though. So any other thoughts that you'd like to share specifically about your ministry? And also want you to be sure and tell people if they want to learn more about Choices for Life and how they can get more information, how they can pray for you, how they can be a financial support to your ministry. What is the website?
The website is choices4life.org. And okay. I would love to hear from people. I need as much help as I can get, because we all know that there's so much prejudice against the rape conceived. And right now, people are celebrating. They're marching in D.C. They're celebrating the fact that this new administration is going to defund abortions.
Mm-hmm.
But what most people don't know is that abortions will be paid with your tax dollars to murder people like me who were conceived in rape.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get protection. We don't get help. And so these women that I'm helping, anywhere from age 10, yes, age 10, all the way up to 42 that have been pregnant,
mm-hmm.
no one has had regrets. Some of them had hesitated, were abortion-minded at first,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, now that they've had their baby, they don't even want to talk about the fact that they once thought about abortion.
Right.
And so,
understandably so,
women don't understand that the pregnancy doesn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a hero to save a life.
Amen.
Nobody says you're a hero if you destroy lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage people to be that hero. Even if you place the child for adoption, you're still a hero for saving
right.
that life. I was adopted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have two sons who have three children each. So my mother has saved 9 children.
Mm.
Ooh,
what people don't understand is when you save the life of one person,
yeah.
listen, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed.
That's right. That is so true.
So nobody knows how many children are here and are
yeah.
not here because of the choice we make.
That's
so,
right.
So one of the things we help is we help financially, we help emotionally, physically. We provide full nurseries for
mm-hmm.
new moms. But we don't just stop there. Moms of teenagers, moms that have grown children. Like
mm-hmm.
I said before, we consider them heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
until the day they die, we even helped with funeral arrangements for
mm-hmm.
one particular mother.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we honor these mothers
right.
during the whole lifespan that they're here. We treasure them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Judah,
one of the things that I... Go ahead.
Let me share something real quick that's such an important part of both the mission of your ministry and what you're doing, too. It's tragic, but many in the pro-life and pro-life circles don't recognize that, like, when a person says that I'm against abortion except in the case of rape, that actually makes them pro-choice.
Yes.
And
yes.
the fact is also, too, it's taking such a wrong perspective in it, because an important question is, why kill the baby for the crime of the father? And for many people, they may think, well, again, it was such a violent act against the woman. That's true. But again, one crime...
You don't kill the rapist.
That's right. That's right. And so the reality is, it's so important for us to understand this is a big issue within the pro-life cause that needs so much more attention. And there are many people, whether they're politicians or preachers or whoever they might be, when they say, I'm against abortion except in the case of rape, it makes them pro-choice. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of these people don't realize that that's exactly what happens.
Exactly, because you cannot be pro-life and decide to murder the hundreds of thousands of babies. You know, let's pretend it's 1%, mm-hmm. which there's far more than 1%, because I know lots of people who didn't tell anybody that they were pregnant by rape.
Right.
And I do know a couple of people who never told that they aborted a baby conceived in rape.
Right.
So the statistics are off, but let's pretend it's 1%. Didn't Christ say, leave the 99 and go after the 1?
That's right. That is so
and
true.
The 1%, let me tell you what that equates to. Would it be okay to destroy Las Vegas, all the people in Las Vegas? Would it be okay to destroy all the people in Tucson, Arizona? Would it be okay to destroy all the people in San Francisco? No. Mm-mm. Atlanta, all these people, no. Because if we take 1% of 60 million, how much is that? That is 600,000 people.
Holy Jesus.
That is a lot.
There
that
are
is a lot.
Cities, cities like the ones I just named that are less than that.
That's right. That's
would it be okay to destroy all those people? But yet when people say, oh, yeah, in the case of rape, it's okay.
So,
see, the foundation for rape, or I'm sorry, the foundation for abortion in the U.S. was in 1966 on Mother's Day. And Pastor Joseph, you were there at the march that we did in Jackson, Mississippi.
That was
the ground zero, if you will, for abortion in this country. And it was based on rape. Mm-hmm. On Mother's Day, legislators who just praised and honored their own mothers for their lives, went and signed laws that allowed a mother to destroy the life of her baby if she said it was rape conceived. Didn't have to prove it, just had to say it. So 7 years later, we have 1973, we have Roe v. Wade. And that during that 7 years, Satan looked everywhere for somebody to stop this. Mm-hmm. Nobody did. And so in the seventh year, God turned them over to a reprobate mind and gave them the desires of their heart, abortion on demand. But again, the foundation for that particular law was rape. Here we are. This is our 51 year this year. Last year landed on Mother's Day in the 50th year, in the Jubilee year of the Lord. And yet, I would say probably 80, 90% of people don't even know the foundation of abortion, yet they continue to agree with pro-choice people
and feminists,
and they continue and continue to agree with the devil to murder certain people.
That's right.
I have a question.
They make crazy laws. You know, would we ever say, oh, it's okay to murder a black man if you look at him first? Sonogram bill. Or how about 20-week ban? Okay, so let's pretend we're equating that to, you can kill your slave if they're 20 years or younger. How stupid. Or how about the Holocaust camp? Well, if you have clean facilities and you have a certified oven operator, you may then proceed to gas the Jew. Why are we making laws that are absolutely insane and then patting each other on the back for it? You know, they're cheering right now for the House having passed the defunding of abortion. But how many people know that your tax paying, that your tax money is going to pay to murder my peers?
Well, you know, Judy, there's so many different sides to the fact that many people don't realize that to make the exception is to keep the door wide open. And It's not a noble thing to say, except in the case of rape. It actually becomes something that's leaning towards what the, what Satan wants rather than the kingdom of light. And so it's important for us to get the word out that, again, there should be no exceptions. The Bible says thou shalt not kill, the proper translation. You shall not murder. You shall not take innocent life. And it says innocent life in any form, obviously. And that would include every baby in every circumstance as well, too. So, Victor, you had a question.
I do. Man, I just love talking to China. The first time we had a conversation, we were on the phone for the longest because I know she know the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can just sense it.
Amen.
My question, aww, Judah, so what would you say would help people to get this passion? And when I say people, I'm especially referring to followers of Jesus, because I truly believe, I'm going to make this statement, then I'll reiterate my question. I truly believe if you go to a church and your pastor doesn't speak about abortion and all he hits on is one aspect, you need to go to another church. Because I can honestly say that my pastor, Abraham Hamilton III, is my pastor. Man, we hit it all. You know what I mean? And so my question is, what would you say, how can people get this passion? Like, when you were adopted, did your mom have that passion, your adopted mother?
It wasn't something we talked about. I grew up on a farm, so I knew animals, you know, were pregnant and then you had a baby, and you know, there was never any thought. I never thought of abortion until I heard of abortion for rape. I had never even had that thought run through my mind. It just, I wasn't encircled, you know, sadly, that talked about abortion. I didn't even know it existed. You know, I was out of the loop completely. Mm-hmm. And then when I started telling people I was conceived in rape, then all of a sudden the abortion issue came up, and I'm like, wait a minute, where have I been? Mm-hmm. You know, in a bubble?
I feel that's how I feel, yeah, especially with March for Life and everything. Pastor Parker was one who ignited in me, I'm going to be honest. Thank you, Pastor
Parker. Well, the Holy Spirit through
Holy Ghost, amen, Lord, amen.
Well, Judah, again, it's such that, like, for example, as believers, there often we're kind of exposed to the circles we run in. But the reality is there's such a need for the church to really aggressively address this because of how widespread the tragedy of abortion is across the board in our culture. So the church really should be at the forefront of all of these issues. Mm-hmm. We really should be. But
absolutely.
What,
you know what I'm thinking?
What's that?
And I think that this is what the Lord has said to me, was that because the church has taught we are no longer under the law, that has permeated a lawless society. And Christ said he didn't come to abolish the law. But yet we have preachers preaching, we're no longer under the law. Now, even in the Old Testament, the only people, quote, under the law were the ones who were disobedient. Because in Psalm 119 tells us that the law is good and perfect, and it's freedom. But yet we're taught it's bondage. So
one of the
I'm looking at this going, we've been teaching people this, because how many times have you heard, we're no longer under the law, do not judge?
I'm so tired of hearing it.
We're not. And so God has been opening my eyes tremendously, and I've been searching and just, what do you want, Lord? You know, like it's people say, you can't do the Old Testament laws. And so I said, well, why can't we? And they couldn't answer. And then I said, what are the laws? Oh, they're all kinds of stuff, but they couldn't tell me. So I started looking into the laws, and, you know, it's not what people think. Most of the laws were for priests. You know, instructions on what they have to do during the ceremonies, sacrifices, and all that stuff. I'm not a priest. And if I did try to do what the priests were doing, God would condemn me, because, like with Aaron and his two sons, you know, his two sons were consumed by a, quote, strange fire.
Right.
They were unauthorized to do that. So here we have...
Jude, I'm going to jump in real quick. We've got a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Judah Myers, the founder of the ministry Choices for Life. We'll be right back.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Listen to Stacey on the Right with Stacey Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacey on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
There's an old saying that says, revenge is sweet. But Dr. Tony Evans says it can turn everything sour, especially your relationship with God. He'll tell us about a much healthier option today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you are seeking revenge, if vengeance is yours, and you're seeking to pay back, forgiveness has not occurred. Because when forgiveness occurs, you keep no record. Regardless of how you feel, because you could be up or down relative to what happened to you, it is the decision to no longer credit to the account of the offender. When you and I sin against God or sin against somebody else, it's like a cash register going off and a debt is incurred. It doesn't mean you justify what went wrong. It doesn't mean you excuse it. It doesn't mean you pretend like it didn't happen. But it means you make a decision to no longer relate to that person based on the infraction. So don't let the fact that the person who has hurt you has neither asked for forgiveness, desired forgiveness, don't care about forgiveness, because you're not willing to be held hostage to the offense. And therefore, by an act of your decision, you release them so you can keep going to your destiny. Because nothing will hold you hostage like unforgiveness. If you do not unilaterally forgive, even though the person hasn't asked for it, then you're held hostage by something you can never change.
Learn more about what God wants you to know as you navigate the unexpected twists and turns of life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The music of Covenant Church, the song, I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Judah Myers, the founder of Choices for Life. And if any of our listeners happen to forget Judah's first name, if they listen to a good praise song like that, it'll remind
Judah.
That her name is Judah. That's right. That's right. All righty. Well, Judah, can you pick up where you left off as you were sharing before we went into the break?
Well, I was saying how we've been taught for so long by religious leaders that We're no longer under the law. And I would challenge people to say, we are, because God does not change. His desires are for us to be a holy people to him. And some people say that, well, the moral law stands, but the rest don't. And I challenge that person to say, show me which law God ever gave us that was immoral.
Well,
right?
Because you know,
the opposite of moral is immoral.
You know, Judah, one of the truths is, of course, Christ fulfilled the ritualistic laws of the Old Testament, and so we don't have to. In other words, he did what we couldn't fully do ourselves, and so he fulfilled those ritualistic laws that we have. And of course, the mind and the heart of God, which is what the Word of God, the truth of God, the laws of God are, they don't change. And again, something very important that you just alluded to is so important for us as believers to grasp is that the Word of God sets us free.
Jeez.
You know, the Satan wants, he tries to just to play this terrible trick on us, he tries to tell us that the Word of God puts us in bondage and that he wants to encourage us to take the freedom to do what we want to do. Whereas in reality, real freedom, the freest life you can possibly live is when you live close to Jesus Christ,
yes,
and you walk with him. That's,
yes,
real freedom. On the other hand, when we get away from the Word of God, that's the essence of what bondage is all about in all of life. Walking away from the Word and the law of God. So you're touching on something very heavy and very important for believers to grasp. God's Word is, God's truth is what sets us free. So thank you for sharing
and
that.
And we do need to know the truth. It's like people going into abortion clinics will chant out, you know, oh, I'm a Christian. God's going to forgive me as they go to murder their baby. But that's deception.
That's right.
Just outright not knowing who God is. You know, I want to give an example of, I'd like to read a post that I just saw on Facebook, and it was about a woman that is recounting her experience. She says, when I was 14 years old, I was brutally raped by someone I thought was my boyfriend. Never reported to the police, and I never told my parents because they would call me a liar. A few weeks later, I found out I was pregnant and panicking, thinking my dad was going to kill me. A lot of people told me to have an abortion, and many of my friends then left and called me a slut and a whore. I put up with the abuse because I believe that all life is precious and a gift from God. I gave birth to my beautiful girl, and when I first looked at her face, all I saw was her father. I cried so hard because I didn't think that I could love someone who reminded me of the abuse I suffered. Mm-hmm. I chose to keep her to prove to myself that I was stronger than the boy who raped me. Almost 19 years later, I look at her, and I still see some of her father. But what I see most is the gift from God. I was kicked out of my church and told by everyone, including the pastor, that I was condemned to hell for having a child out of wedlock. Well, if I was condemned to hell, why would God give me the gift of life? She goes on to say that constant put-downs, verbal abuse, still very hard for her. And she's married now to a wonderful man who honors her children and knows what she has been through. And she says that my daughter is a gift from God. And I will always choose life.
Amen.
Wow.
Judah, that's a powerful story. That is a powerful
story. That's one of many, many stories.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably heard over 300.
Well, you know, Judah,
and it doesn't change.
One of the truths that is that amongst other things that story touches on is the church has got to grow in our understanding of how to love people with grace and skill, embrace people, even in the midst of the mistakes, which outside of Jesus, all of us make
though.
Them, you know. And of course, that's right. Yep. Babies are never a mistake. But the fact is,
no, but I'm saying she didn't do a mistake when it was her boyfriend that raped her.
That's right. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. So, but the church, again, too often, well, at least in the name of the church, people will do the condemning, casting judgment, saying things they shouldn't say. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to love people. We're supposed to embrace people. We forgive when forgiveness is needed. But, of course, we've got to become experts at sharing the love of Jesus Christ. So. Mm-hmm. But so many aspects of that story are so powerful to take time to really look at. But thank you for sharing that story, though.
I want to add this when both of you were talking about the law, because, you know, that stupid feminist march was going on, unfortunately, last right. week. And I call it stupid because it is. And I saw so-called believers like chanting and loving the fact that that stupid march was occurring last week. Well, anyway, this is my point. This is why we have to have God's word, which gives us boundaries. They used to tell us all the time in seminary school. I went to Rhema Bible Training College, and they would tell us relationships without rules is rebellion. Man, I thank God because God loves us. This is why he tells us these things not to do. Why killing a baby is wrong. Because he loves us. He gives us these boundaries, which gives us freedom. I thank God my mommy and daddy gave me rules because they wanted to protect me and keep That's me safe. Right. That is freedom.
Mm-hmm. That's love.
That's love. Even better,
if
Judah.
If you don't love your child, you're going to go ahead and say, honey, you can play in the street. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can be free. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, what parent, what would we look at in a parent like that? They don't love their child, mm-hmm. right? But the little child goes, you hate me because you won't let me play out there. Mm-hmm. Well, parents need to be parents. And the other thing that we're neglecting is we're not teaching children right from wrong. Mm-hmm. It has to be right in your eye.
That's right.
Right is relevant. You know, what's right for you might not be right for somebody else. You know, this is insanity. This mm-hmm. is demonic deception at its best.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, Jude, our time is sort of winding down here. I want to ask if you'll share a little bit more about what are some of the things that you'd want to encourage the church to do? What insights or truths should the church embrace to really grasp the issues that Choices for Life really addresses? And what are things you'd want to challenge the church to really get much better at doing in addressing this issue?
I would first like to challenge the church to join with Choices for Life because we are the only organization doing what we're doing. So we need the help of churches and organizations to come alongside of us. We will help the church. The church will help us. Let me just tell you, every single place that I've ever spoken, like I said, whether it's just a few people or, you know, thousands of people, someone has come to me with that same story of mm-hmm. being raped and not being believed. So I guarantee you, if you have just a handful of people, somebody's got a rape conception story that they're not sharing.
Right.
And so I would love to be invited to speak. I've spoken at Harvard, the UN, all around the world. I would love to come in and share a message that will open that door so that it'll make it easier for pastors to continue that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would love to be able to educate local people. So if there's somebody interested in sharing this message and helping other females in your area throughout the United States, partner with me. I will give you all the information and materials that you'll need, and you can go out there and form other groups to make this go. We need to end the abuse and the genocide of rape-conceived people. And we need to stop the abuse on the moms.
That's right.
I'm going to give you my phone number. It's 281-451-8460. Call me directly. And we can talk about what God has gifted you to do to end this. If you could have walked with Martin Luther King Jr., how many of us would have said, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
That's right.
Well, here
That's
is right. an even bigger march because this includes all colors. Every nation on the planet
That's
condemns
right.
the rape conceived.
Hmm.
How much more can we lift up God in this and give him the glory
Amen.
And let his image bearers live? You know, I know 10 pastors who were conceived in rape. Let me just tell you, we're not monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We are making a difference in the world.
Judy,
but people don't know us.
Share that number one more time, a little bit slower for us, okay?
281-451-8460.
Okay, then. And anyone that has an interest in getting involved with the ministry should just get in touch with you, as well as, of course, there may be some listeners who don't plan to call but may have just decided, well, I'm going to really intercede. I'm going to really pray for Judah and Choices for Life. And, of course, you can use all the intercessors you can get hold of, right?
Absolutely. Pray that the Lord would send intercessors for the mothers, like angels, to protect them from the family, from society, from the rapists. We've had to relocate, I believe, five now.
Mm-hmm.
to safe places outside of their own state.
Wow.
This is some serious problems here. So we need protection over the women and the children. We
That's
need
right.
government. We need people who will call government leaders to change laws to protect all innocent people. So there's lots of opportunity to be active, even if you're in a wheelchair, if you have access to a phone or an email. I desperately can use your help. And you can email me at Judah@choices4life.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Judah, where are y'all located? I've been to ask you that.
I'm in Texas.
Okay.
And to keep our funds down, there is no paid staff, by the way, so money given to Choices for Life goes to the ministry.
Okay.
And I am working out of a home office for now, just because I want to save every dime and give it to these girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do not believe in wasting anything because there is so much need and our funds are low.
Mm-hmm.
So it is by a miracle of God that we have been able to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to continue to help people. And, you know, a lot of organizations, they have a lot of administration fees. They pay their people, you know, large salaries. There are no salaries here. There's nothing. So if you want to be part of an organization that is cutting edge, that is right there with God's purpose in saving innocent lives, making a difference in the world, this definitely is the one.
Amen. Amen. Okay. What part of Texas are you in, did you say?
Houston.
You're in Houston, Texas.
Houston.
Okay. Okay, then.
Houston.
Okay. Share the number one more time for our listeners if they want to get in touch with you, Judah.
Okay. It's Judah, J-U-D-A, at Choices, C-H-O-I-C-E-S, the number 4, life, L-I-F-E, .org.
Okay.
And then the phone number is 281-451-8460.
Amen.
You can reach me on Facebook, too. There's a Choices for Life on Facebook, on Twitter. We also have a YouTube, if you look up Judah Myers or Judah, the number 4, Praise. There's a plethora of videos that you can share with everybody. There's so many things to do, and it's real easy to make a difference.
Judah.
And you've ministered to women with quite a range of ages. What is the youngest girl that you helped through a rape situation in your ministry history?
10 years old. She is now 11. And she has no regrets. I say, long after the naysayers' voices are gone, the sounds of laughter fill the home of a woman who chose life.
Man.
And this little girl, she is a straight-A student. She's the only straight-A student in her grade. She's excelling in sports. And also, she's African-American, which most
All
people
right.
say she ain't gonna, you know, she's not going to make it.
Judah, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the work you do, and God bless you.
Love you, Judah.
Keep up the great work.
We love you.
Our guest has been Judah Myers, the founder of the ministry Choices for Life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.